My guest at this time is Matthew Staver. He's the founder and chairman of Liberty Council. We've asked him to react to the Supreme Court's decision declaring the state of Missouri violated the free exercise of religion by denying state grant money to Trinity Lutheran Church because it determined that would be a violation of the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment and existing state law. The court ultimately deciding this was about money to make playgrounds safer and had nothing to do with endorsing religion. It was a 7-2 ruling, and Matt, thanks very much for being with us.
You're welcome. Good to be with you.
Well, let's look at the majority and the dissenting decisions here. Let's start with the Chief Justice John Robertson, a couple of things that he said. This is part of his majority opinion. Quote, the state has pursued its preferred policy to the point of expressly denying a qualified religious entity a public benefit solely because of its religious character. Under our precedents, that goes too far. The department's policy violates the free exercise clause. And then towards the end, he says, the exclusion of Trinity Lutheran from a public benefit for which it is otherwise qualified solely because it is a church is odious to our Constitution and cannot stand. What do you make of his rationale?
Well, it's a great decision all the way around. And the nice thing is it's a 7-2 decision, only two dissenters, Sotomayor and Ginsburg, and they were way off base. Even Kagan and Breyer joined in the majority of seven justices. So it's a huge victory for religious freedom. Had it gone the other way, it could have had a huge negative impact on vouchers and even Medicaid and Medicare funds at religiously affiliated hospitals. If, in fact, you can disqualify an otherwise qualified public or school or, say, a hospital, in the case of Medicaid, Medicare, solely because it's religious in nature or affiliated with a church, that would mean that vouchers, when parents provide these vouchers to a particular school of their own choice, could ultimately be blocked across the country. It also could mean that, in fact, these hospitals that are religiously affiliated, particularly those that are associated with churches like Baptist, Seventh-day Adventist, other kinds of hospitals and so forth, those could be disqualified from treating Medicaid and Medicare patients for the same reason. The good news is that's not the direction the court went. It is a great religious freedom decision.
Matt, let's talk a little bit about the so-called footnote controversy. Some are pointing out that Thomas and Gorsuch did not go along with that part of the majority opinion, which essentially limited the decision to the present circumstances. There's a lot of pundits are saying today they basically said this decision only relates to playgrounds. So are you concerned that it's narrower in scope than some would like, or are you not concerned?
No, I'm very encouraged by Justice Gorsuch. He wrote a concurring opinion. So did Thomas, and Thomas joined in Gorsuch's opinion. This is the first case that Gorsuch sat on as a Supreme Court justice. It was argued the same week that he was invested as a justice at the Supreme Court. And it's his first written statement as a Supreme Court justice. It's a concurring opinion. What he said is he signed on to everything in the majority written by Roberts, except for footnote 3. He says, on its face, footnote 3 is true. It is a situation that went too far because it discriminated on the basis of religion, being that this was a church. And it was a case that involved this religious or this playground for children. However, he says, you cannot make a distinction between religious status and religious use. He says, does a religious man offer a blessing or grace over a meal, or does a man offer a religious blessing over a meal? Is the playground built by a religious entity, or is the playground built to achieve a religious mission of a religious organization? He says the First Amendment protects not just belief, but exercise. And you can't make this distinction between protecting status, but maybe not use, or protecting belief, but not exercise. The First Amendment protects both. So he wanted to make it very clear that you cannot make such a distinction. He also said he also wanted to make it clear that this case has broad principles. It cannot be limited to playgrounds. It also affects a wide range of issues, like what I'm just talking about, right? Vouchers or Medicaid, Medicare, and so forth. So it is a great opinion by Gorsuch in his concurring because it shows that he is committed to the original understanding and intent of the Constitution. So a great decision all the way around.
So you like what Roberts said, you like what Gorsuch said. Let's talk about an opinion I'm guessing you're not going to like very much, and that's the dissent written by Sonia Sotomayor. Concurring with that opinion is Justice Ginsburg. Here's the very beginning of her dissent, and we're going to look at a couple different passages here. She says, to hear the court tell it, this is a simple case about recycling tires to resurface a playground. The stakes are higher. This case is about nothing less than the relationship between religious institutions and the civil government that is between church and state. The court today profoundly changes that relationship by holding for the first time that the Constitution requires the government to provide public funds directly to a church. Its decision slights both our precedents and our history, and its reasoning weakens this country's longstanding commitment to a separation of church and state beneficial to both. So her argument is saying that the court has now opened the gates for the government to directly fund churches.
Well, you know, I think that she's wrong, obviously, on the Constitution, certainly the history of the Constitution and the intent of the Constitution. Never ultimately wanted to put this huge separating wall so that you can't ever have any interaction. First Amendment's designed to prevent an establishment of religion, a preferential treatment of religion or a religious denomination over another, not equal treatment. When you have equal treatment, like in this case, you have grantees that apply, and you have qualified grantees, and they're all qualified in these top tier, and the only reason that you eliminate one is because it's religious, in this particular case a church. That's discriminatory, and the Constitution has nothing to do with that. So her statement is completely off base. I am very pleased with this 7-2 decision, very pleased with the result of the case, and encouraged by what Gorsuch has said, because I think it really bodes well for the future that we've got a great justice who's precise and who will be committed to the original understanding of the Constitution.
Two quick other questions on the Sotomayor dissent. She referred to the Missouri Constitution, specifically Article 1, Section 7, which reads in part at least, quote, that no money shall ever be taken from the public treasury directly or indirectly in aid of any church, sect, or denomination of religion, or in aid of any priest, preacher, minister, or teacher thereof as such, and that no preference shall be given to, nor any discrimination made against, any church, sect, or creed of religion, or any form of religious faith or worship. When you look at what John Roberts and Neil Gorsuch have written, is there any contradiction there whatsoever?
No, I think what happens is the First Amendment Free Exercise Clause preempts that particular provision. That's what they said, essentially. That is what's called the Blaine Amendment. Senator Blaine, back in the 1800s, wanted to change the First Amendment because he was opposed to Catholic and parochial schools. He didn't like them. So he didn't even want the student bused to these schools when that was the only option. And so he tried to get the Congress to amend the First Amendment, and he couldn't get that happen. So when that failed on the federal level, he turned his attention to the states. And so some of these states have these so-called Blaine Amendments, which are anti-Catholic, anti-religious freedom, anti-Christian school amendments that came into be because of him and his opposition to Christians. And so what happened is these provisions have been used like this in Missouri to literally discriminate against Christians. A similar one was used in Florida to block a kind of voucher that was provided to parents so that they could have their own choice where to send their son or daughter. The public wasn't supporting the public school. The government wasn't supporting the public school. They were giving the choice to parents, and they were making the decision. So this case today will ultimately affect those kinds of cases that otherwise have tried to block vouchers and other kinds of discriminatory treatment against people of faith. So I think that this religious free exercise clause clearly today has been affirmed according to its original understanding that you have free exercise of religion. You have free exercise of religion, and you cannot be discriminated against simply because you're religious, or in this case, Christian in nature.
Last question here, Matt, and this is another sentence from the Sotomayor dissent that has not gotten much attention, but I think it might go a long way to helping us understand where some justices are coming, not only on this case, But people in larger political and cultural debates as well. This is towards the end of her dissent. It simply says, today's decision discounts centuries of history and jeopardizes the government's ability to remain secular, unquote. A lot of folks, I'm guessing you're one of them, would suggest that the Establishment Clause does not mean that the government has to remain secular, just can't pick favorites. What do you make of her assertion that the government is to remain secular?
Well, that's never been part of the First Amendment or the Constitution. In fact, former Supreme Court Justice early in our history, Justice Joseph Story, said that the First Amendment was designed to encourage religion so far as it's not incompatible with the rights of conscience. It was designed to prohibit rivalries among denominations, from the government picking and choosing between Baptist or Presbyterians or Anglicans and so forth. That's what the intent was, not to remain secular. In fact, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, all the founders, they consistently said that government had to be, the people had to be religious and moral. Therefore, people needed to be taught Christian principles, even in the public schools, so that they would have a moral people, so that our liberty would be preserved. You know, she's just rewriting history to say, it's frankly shocking to suggest that this is centuries of history, that the government is to remain secular. That's absolute nonsense.
Matt, big day on the Religious Freedom Front. Not only this case, but the Masterpiece Cake Company will also be heard, the Supreme Court announced today. And that, of course, stems to the conscience debate, which Liberty Counsel, I know, has been deeply involved with. So quick reaction on the court deciding to go with that case?
Well, I'm glad that the court decided to go with the case. It's a big case. It represents a big clash of religious freedom and the LGBT agenda. But I don't know which way the court will go. I wish that Kennedy would announce his retirement before then, and we would have another justice like Gorsuch that would feel much better seated in the bench before this case is actually decided or heard by the Supreme Court. So great day all the way around. We'll see how this case will ultimately go.
Matt, thanks as always for your time and your insights. We appreciate it.